Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another Tarot Insider Show. Dax Carlisle here, coming to you live from Tucson, Arizona. And joining me, of course, as always, the fabulous Janet Boyer. Hey, Janet, we're continuing our journey through the minor arcana of the tarot.
Yes, and today we're going to go over the unstable five.
Yes. I think actually people have been waiting for this one. You know, we've been doing these little kind of almost like mini classes on the radio show for a while now. And, you know, here we are, we're about halfway through looking at the minor arcana cards numerologically. I love that, by the numbers, just like my course, Tarot by the Numbers. Gotta love it. Oh my God. So we're looking at a little bit of numerology and we're looking at the cards, but I think people have been waiting for this, because it's like, what do you do with the fives? You know, a lot of people are afraid of the fives. It's like, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's okay. Oh, but before we get into that, I just want to let everybody know we're not taking phone calls on today's show. And you can call in tomorrow. It's the same phone number, 714-816-4628. You can call in tomorrow on the Soul Sisters show. And it's Sue and Ann. Oh, actually, Ann has a doctor's appointment. So our brand new host, Catherine Hahn. Catherine is going to be filling in for Ann with Sue on open lines and phone calls all tomorrow. So call in tomorrow. It's a little bit earlier show. It's 9 a.m. Pacific. So that's 11 Central, 12 p.m. noon Eastern, 5 p.m. London, U.K. And just going to give you a heads up on that real quick. Another thing I wanted to mention, Janet, is there's a lot of people joining the Tarot Guild, getting certified, taking the course. I'm just loving it. You know, since we launched the summer sale.
People are
just jumping on that, you know. And if you've never heard of the deal, you'll find it at psychictalk.net/tarot summer. And tarot, if you guys don't know how to spell tarot, I don't know what to do. But anyway, it's T-A-R-O-T. It's, you know, got that French, so they have the silent T on the end. T-A-R-O-T. So psychictalk.net/tarot summer. And you can go check it out. It's a package deal. It includes my Tarot by the Numbers course that I just mentioned. It includes your certification, because that's normally a separate fee from the course, because some people want to get certified. Some people just want to take the course. They want to learn tarot. They want to learn numerology, but they're not interested as, you know, practicing as a reader or anything like that professionally. And then also membership to the Tarot Guild, which is normally $37 a year. And you're getting this whole package for $47. Yes, but there's only 8 days left. That's right. Yes, after summer is gone, so is this deal. So you got 8 days left, folks. Get in on this deal. Go over to psychictalk.net/tarot summer and sign up. I also have on there my readings, which are normally $97 a session, $50 off. They're just $44 too. Yep. So I just wanted to let everybody know about that. Also, Janet, you've got some news. You're making progress, aren't you, and your projects there?
More than making progress. Last night at around 10 p.m., I finished the bulk of the Coffee Tarot Companion book. Oh my God, it's over 50. And the crowd grows wild. Oh my God, I'm so happy. So I finished that. And it was quite, you know, it was quite a thing that I bit off. I'm all, you know, Ron says I'm always trying to outdo myself, because for every card in the Coffee Tarot Companion, I have a quote, a consideration, keywords, and then I address that card at work, romance, and personal growth. And then there's a section, artist notes, where Ron shares his process, his thoughts about the card, and then a little fortune at the end. And so that all done, and that's, yeah, and that's at over 56,000 words. Now, today, what I've been working on is I'm coming up with these cool find the object games, like in which card would you find mice? In which card would you see someone wearing gloves? So I actually have like 2 pages of that I wrote today. I have a whole page of did you notice, like these little symbols and neat things that Ron put in the deck, like the aliens in the five of air. We're doing the five today. What people may not notice is the one dejected little alien going up the ramp has a bare butt. So I have like, did you notice? A whole list of those, because people a lot of times miss things, and I point it out, and they're like, oh, I never saw that. And so it helps people to really look deeply at a card and to understand it and see what maybe they would draw from that. For example, if you were to get that alien, you know what phrase just popped into my mind? Being caught with your pants down. Because, we'll get into this, the Five of Air or Five of Swords, you know, is a very malicious card, and it's usually someone is trying to expose another person. So, see, there is a connection to these small symbols. So I have a whole page on did you notice, and then I'm going to be working on a bunch of coffee facts and trivia so people can learn about all cool facts about coffee. Like, for example, it's actually a bush that has coffee cherries, and it's the seed or the cherry that ends up, you know, being roasted and turning into coffee beans. And then I'm going to create all original spreads, and then I'm going to include some behind-the-scene pictures of, like, Ron posing with Noah to kind of get the images and some of the images that didn't make it in and how it went through evolution. So I'm actually working on that today, but I honestly think I might end up getting that done within the next few days. And so if anybody wants to get our deck, it's coffeetarotdeck.com, and there's also a link there to pre-order the book. That it's going to be, you know, well over 56,000 words. So, and that's over 10,000 words beyond what Tarot in Reverse was. So this is actually a full-length, full-color, big companion book that's full of goodies. And so if you, want to get the deck.
God, how many pages is that many words?
Well, I'm not real sure yet because, well, I printed out because one thing that Ron and I are going to do is we're going to go over it with the Red Pen of Doom. So we're going to make sure we really proofread and make sure there's no mistakes because, you know, sometimes Word doesn't catch things. Like a word might be spelled correctly, but it's the wrong word. And if you're typing quick, you know, you might miss that. And so last night when I printed it out, it was like 198 pages. And that's single-spaced Arial 12 points. So, yeah. And so then when I'm all done with that, I'm going to send it to my friend and colleague who's also a tarot deck creator and author, Craig Conley. He's my book formatter. So I hired him to format both this and the Snowland book, and he's going to format it. He created the cover, and then I'm going to see how it looks, how we're going to, you know, make it pretty. And then we'll just get our sample copies, and then, you know, once those are approved, boom, we're going to be mailing them out. And so I'm thinking within the next few weeks, which just happens to coincide with Naked Tarot coming out, which is my third traditionally published book. Here I got a notice from my publisher that they're already in the warehouse. And I pre-ordered just to see what would happen. I pre-ordered it in March from Book Depository, and here Book Depository gave me a note and said, oh, by the way, your book's on the way. So I'm like, what? It's not supposed to be in September, but apparently it would seem that if you've pre-ordered Naked Tarot that the books are going to be winging their way to you within the next week or two. So if you haven't done that, you could go to nakedtarot.com and you could watch the trailer I made of the book, read a sample chapter. You can pre-order it. It's available everywhere. It's even on walmart.com, target.com. Walmart.com actually has a really good pre-order price, the best. Then there's Book Depository, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and, of course, you can always order from your beloved brick-and-mortar metaphysical bookstore as well. They can get that in for you. So I have been busy because then, you know, we got the two books coming out in September, and then I'm going to be doing a book signing in October and probably scheduling more. And yeah, it feels good to wrap up this big project. You know, it really, I cleaned off my,
let me ask you,
my desks and.
Let me ask you real quick. What's the official, like, publisher release date? It was in September, right?
Well, that's the weird thing. The official date was September 27th. But
oh,
then,
wow. I didn't know it was that late.
But,
I thought it,
yeah, but on Amazon, you know, there that's what it says at the bottom. But then towards the top, where it says pre-order, it says the publisher said a September 7th release date.
Mm.
And however, you know, they're in. The publisher told me that the Naked Tarot is in warehouses now, both UK and America, meaning ready to be shipped. And because Book Depository, which is a place you order books, is saying that my book is on the way, that leads me to believe that people can probably start getting their books, even though it's not September. I have a feeling that they'll still be getting their, coming to them within a week or two, because my publisher's in the UK. And BookDepository.com is in the UK, and they have free shipping worldwide. So I'm thinking that Book Depository will probably get the books out faster than any outlet. So super excited, because that thing is jam-packed. That's, that thing, that book,
yeah,
is 110,000 words. And whoo, lots of writing the last few years. I need a vacation.
Encyclopedia.
Yeah,
definitely.
Basically. That's what Ron calls it. So I'm on fire.
It's the Encyclopedia of Tarot, folks. You got to sign up for that. And I wanted to suggest this. You know, we were going to do a book launch party, and because things are coming out sooner and things like that, I know we're going to take next week, folks, the 29th off, but we'll be back on the 5th, and then all the shows are coming back. It's going to be a full month in September. I was thinking on Wednesday, September 5th, we could do a Naked Tarot book launch party live on the radio show. What do you think about that?
I think that would be lovely. And I can read from it, and maybe you
yes.
can draw a card for, you could draw a card for callers, and I can read part of what the interpretation is from the book. It's very not safe for work.
Oh, nice.
It's the sassy version, you know, it's the sassy encyclopedia. And it's you know, it's channeling the naughty Janet. So sure, we could do that Wednesday, September 5th.
So mark it in your calendars, folks, and go over to the publisher or go over to Amazon and put your pre-order in. You're going to get it quick. We love it. Maybe people, you know, a lot of people have it in their, you know, hot hands already, and we'll be able to really get, you know, maybe some people will call in and tell us what they think or something like that. You know, it'll
yeah,
be really
September
a lot
5th,
of fun.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible by the 5th.
Yeah, I was going to suggest, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later in the month for the book launch party, but I think this is better. We're going to start off September with a bang. We're going to do the book launch party. Mark it in your calendars, folks. Oh gosh.
Yay.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
So, okay, we are going to continue our series, our journey through the Tarot Minor Arcana. This week it's the five cards. And, you know, to some people those are some of the scary cards. They put them in, you know, people have their scary cards from the Major Arcana too, you know. Maybe we'll do a show on that where we, like, pull out the scary cards and then pull out the good cards too. What's the negative side of the good cards?
Absolutely.
Oh, I got some stuff on that. I got some
Me
stuff
too.
On that. And on the, and the tens, you know, there's actually,
yeah.
you know, everybody goes, oh, the tens, you know, nice cards. Yeah. Yeah. But there's some negative sides to some of these things too, but I'm going to do the opposite with the fives. I kind of want to do the opposite. I want to, you know, flip it around, because cards are a spectrum, folks. You know, there's no such thing as a bad card or a good card, you know. And it's all the interpretation, relation to other cards in the spread, things like that. Now, before we actually get into the fives themselves, let's talk just a little bit briefly about the numerology. The number five, you know, as we've been doing these little mini classes live on air, I've been starting off by talking about the number itself. And, you know, we left off with four, which was structure. Now, we went through a kind of a process there, the first four numbers in numerology. And we start off with the one, and then there was the two. The two came together, went through the creation process, the birthing process of three, and created the third, which actually ends up as four, the structure. The structure is created. And, you know, there's the obvious analogy to, you know, man meets woman, they get together, they make baby. But it could be anything. Anything where you're creating an art project or, you know, some other kind of project, something you're birthing, you know. But what can happen is you can get stuck at four. You know, it's there's nothing wrong with the structure, but, you know, structure can be limiting too. And so five is what I like, the way I like to say it is five is the chaos that breaks us free of the structure of four so we can move on to the higher numbers. 6, 7, 8, and 9, you know, 9 being completion, 8 being abundance and prosperity, 7 is the highest spiritual number, 6 is a return to balance and harmony after the 5, which we'll get into in a few weeks. But 5, what I like to do with that is I kind of make an analogy to Mercury retrograde in astrology. So people, you know, talk about Mercury retrograde, and most of it, you know, they're talking about, oh my God, we're in Mercury retrograde, and this is happening and that's happening, the electronics, your computer, your program, your communication, everything is messed up. I mean, we've actually had some times on the radio network where we were in Mercury retrograde and having a lot of problems on air. Problems with Blog Talk and technical issues and things like that. But there's always the other side of the coin. And what it is with Mercury retrograde is that it's also a high energy time. It's a time when you can get a lot accomplished. Now, the same is true of five. So people, when they're in a five personal year, yeah, numerologists call it the chaos number in numerology, and it can be a chaotic time, but also it's a high energy time. It's a time of adventure and a time of change. Five is the number of change. So you can take advantage of that high energy and breaking free of the structure to make progress when it's a five personal year or you're in a 5-day, for instance, things like that. People that have a life path five are the adventure seekers in life. And so there's always a positive side to things too. And the five cards in the minor arcana really line up with that five energy. So, you know, the first thing you mentioned, Janet, was the five of swords. Maybe we should go there first because I think that's the scariest of the five cards, maybe? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, probably, you know, maybe. It's interesting that you liken the fives to Merc Retro. I've never thought of it like that, only because for me, Mercury Retro is a lot of a redo. It's, you know, a lot of the words that begin with R-E-R-E are applied to Mercury Retrograde, like to review, reassess, renew, reevaluate, redo, renegotiate. And so I see fives as more of surprise energy, whereas Mercury retrograde is like, oh, no, back to the drawing board to tie up loose ends. For me, fives are in tarot are more of change and suddenness. Now, with the fours, like you're talking about, it's such a fixed and packed-in energy. I mean, imagine, like, if you had a box and you packed the dirt in it, you know? Gardeners would know that you can't pack dirt in too solid when you're doing, you know, seeds or even seedlings, because you have to have a little bit of room for air to circulate and water and the worms to get in there, what have you. And sometimes if you pack it in too much, you know, there's a problem. You know, there's stagnation and possible death. And so, you know, we talked about how fours are like a cube or box or even a cement foundation, sometimes even a prism. Whenever I think of fives, I see bubbling. Kind of like, you know, if you're making soup or even if you're boiling water for tea, you know, there's a stagnant still water. Then all of a sudden, once it hits the boiling point, boom, bubbles start erupting at the surface, air starts getting released, there's movement, there's magic sometimes when you're cooking, because once you hit a boiling point, that changes a lot of, mixtures and experiments and what have you. Once you hit the 212 Fahrenheit boiling point, that is actually a measurement, boiling point. And so I kind of see the fives as like that. It's when, there's a bit of an earthquake, where somebody bumps the table and the china starts, wobbling maybe some cups get spilled over. With Five of Cups, it's literally the spilled milk card. And it's very much like electricity. But the benefits of the five is, even though it's like change and instability, there are little pockets of air and opportunities in that if you just stay calm and you breathe and you try to keep your head, you can maneuver within, almost like maneuvering through an asteroid belt. And along the way, well, if you're talking like a video game, there might be like hidden gems and extra bonus, bonus points and power-ups within those asteroids if you choose to go through it. And yes, it could be difficult, and yes, it's challenging, but you can learn a lot of lessons, you can hone skills, and you tend to go through the fives, you come out through the other end, you tend to end up being better for it and more wiser, and sometimes even having better skills. Yeah, so now the Five of Swords, man, I tell you what, this is in a contest for the nastiest card in the tarot, and it's up against the Knight of Swords and the Devil. And one of the reasons why the Five of Swords is so nasty is because there's this German term, I don't know if it's pronounced Schadenfreude or Schadenfraud, S-C-H-A-D-E-N-F-R-E-U-D-E. It's a word that means the glee you get when you watch someone suffer. Now, I would never do that, which is a load of bullshit, because anytime you see someone that you think is getting karma and you gloat about it, or you're happy about it, or you gossip about it and say, well, they had it coming, that's Schadenfreude. And this is the Five of Swords card. Anytime that you take any amount of joy or glee by watching someone suffer, or to see them fall off a pedestal, or to see them attacked, to see them lose sales, to see them being boycotted, to see them being lied about, to see the reputation.
I think of bullying right away.
Yeah, and bullying as well. Anytime you see that, that is Five of Swords, and of course bullying as well. Five of Swords is also trolls hiding behind anonymity online, because swords is communication. I consider the Five of Swords the coward card. Okay, these are the people that a lot of times hide behind anonymous names, or they do their dirty work behind the scenes while putting a face on, they're all love and light, and then behind the scenes, they're causing chaos, sowing discord, spreading lies and what have you. And it's slander, innuendo, blackballing, Chinese whispers. The thing about the Five of Swords, it's not accidental. There is malicious intent. There's an intent when it comes to the Five of Swords. Now, like a Page of Swords tends to be a little bit of a big mouth, but a lot of times they're kid-like, they blurt it out, and they may not even realize what they're saying or what they're doing. Five of Swords, there's malicious intent. They're looking at some of the long game, and they're deliberately trying to place obstacles and treacherous traps in the path of people. And so it's hard to see an upswing on the Five of Swords, except for the fact that when you encounter this kind of crap, again, you can come through it and become more strong, and, it shows you your strength, but that's not always a consolation prize. Because if you've been through betrayal and lies, or having your reputation tarnished, or boycotting for silly things, or you have anonymous trolls, leaving one-star reviews of your products on Amazon just because, they're miserable or jealous or what have you, it's hard to see an upside to that, because unfortunately, so many people, especially online, believe what they read. They do not bother to investigate. They don't have the time for that.
Mm-hmm.
If they see it's on the web, then it must be true. If there's smoke, there's fire. All this other bullshit without, there's not a lot of analysis in the Five of Swords. Because there's so much chaos, you got the chaos of the five, swords of communication. Because there's so many different signals and messages and what have you, people will grab onto the first or second message they see, and they'll ignore facts. They'll ignore, they won't go to the source. They won't look at the bulk of a situation. They just cling to, certain little catchphrases or juicy gossip tidbits, because it, feeds their ego, and that, again, that Schadenfreude of seeing glee you know, feeling glee at someone else's suffering. So Father Swordsman, you know, well, with our Snowland deck, though, we got a speed skating snowman, which is totally hilarious. And so there is some, like, maneuver. Yeah, and somebody has fell. We don't know if the snowman pushed him or what. And the jockeying for position, you know, both the Five of Wands and Five of Swords can be like a jockeying for position using precision, you know. But, yeah, the Five of Swords, man, it's really hard to put a good spin on. I mean, do you have a good spin for it?
No, not really, except for your image in the Snowland deck. Really, you know, if there was something positive, it would be that speed, which is that high energy in things happening quickly with the five energy.
Yeah, and the ability to roll with it and go with it instead of falling on your ass. Because, you know, if you're a centered person inside, then the chaos of the five can't get to you. You know, that's another thing, too. The fives, a lot of times, are very external and to some extent, because there's a comparison to something out in the world. And the Five of Swords, you know, like with the speed skating snowman, you know, yeah, people are falling. People are trying to get ahead of him. You know, he's a bit of a disadvantage with his little twig legs. He's not very aerodynamic. He's a snowman. But, you know, but it's a nod to the fact that if you're fast on your feet and you know how to play other people's game and you have a bullshit detector, you can help outmaneuver. You know what I'm saying? Now, I see the Seven of Swords or the Seven of Air as the strategy and outmaneuvering and actual strategizing, but I think Five of Swords is a lot of times, if you're not the asshole who's causing the trouble, then the Five of Swords a lot of times can indicate in a positive that you're on the defensive and you're thinking on your feet and you're dodging things. Sometimes, though, they take time, you know, to get through these and you maneuver it, but as long as your character is strong and you breathe deep and you don't give up and you know the facts and you just keep putting yourself out there and being confident in your character and your integrity, then eventually, you know, it may take a while, but eventually, you know, you'll come up out on top. Not necessarily successful as you used to be, not necessarily as, you know, rich. You know, you may take a major hit, but you're going to learn a lot in the process. You're going to learn a lot about how humanity works. You're going to learn about some of the ins and outs of communication, what, you know, perhaps not to do, some of the trigger points of people. So it can make you wiser, you know, experiencing idiots from the Five of Swords. It can make you wiser and smarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that could be, you know, if we're going to squeeze something positive, you know, it's the aha moment they have, especially when you analyze the card with the client. So I sit there and I'm having them look at it, and I say, okay, are you identifying with the figures in the back? Or are you identifying with the figure in the front picking up the swords? And if you are identifying with the figure picking up the swords, like, okay, you might be winning, but at what cost? And it all depends on the reading, too. Go ahead.
Right. And the authenticity of the person, too. The person has to want truth. Because too often with, you know, the ego, we're so quick to look at the cards and think of how it applies to someone else, especially the negative ones. We don't want to dare examine, wait, how am I the asshole? What kind of, you know, and that's why I have intuitive questions, not only in Naked Tarot, but also the coffee deck, you know, and in what ways do I slander others and gossip? You know, when was the last time I felt, you know, a glimpse of glee and a smile on my face when something bad happened to another person that I didn't like, you know? And so it's, another benefit of the fives is for intense self-reflection. You really want to know what you're made of. Ask yourself questions about the fives and how you're like them. When's the last time you did stuff like the fives? And, you know, you'll come out with a lot of really rich information to go forward with, but a lot of people don't want to dig deep and they don't want to look at their flaws. They don't want to shine that light. You know, the ego's like a cockroach. You know, it wants to run and skitter and away. It doesn't want to ask itself that, or sometimes people are just so brazen in their egocentrism and their sleepy state that they know they're like that and they don't care. They figure, well, that person had it coming to them, so what? You know, not once realizing the type of vibration and level that they're at for them to be taking joy personally in someone's fall, or you know, or someone's you know, a negative thing happening to a person, you know.
Yeah, and you know, there is a hint, a glimmer towards progress because, okay, so the figure's picking up the swords, and then in the very next card, he's loaded the swords into the boat, and now he's moving towards his goal or their collective goal. And of course, I always like to remind people swords are thoughts and ideas. So, you know, he's picking up the thoughts and ideas, puts them in the boat, and he's making that slow progress across the body of water towards the goal, moving from the rough seas to the calmer seas and making progress in the very next card, which we'll be talking about the sixes, the six being the return to harmony and balance after the chaos of five. The next time we're all here together, which will be a few weeks because we're going to take a break next week, and then we're going to do the Naked Tarot book launch party on the 5th. So we'll be back on what'll be that? That'll be the 12th.
Oh,
yeah,
for the 6th.
For the sixes, yeah. Just to give people a heads up when we're going to be back with that. Yeah, you know, and it all depends on the type of reading you're doing. You're doing a love reading, you know. I mean, I started thinking right away. Oh, betrayal. Abusive relationships, if they're not in a relationship. I start thinking of dating the wrong people and
mind
these kind of things.
Yeah, mind games. And another thing those swords from the six could represent, too, is the realization on who you can trust and who you can't. It's a real big wake-up call, the Five of Swords, to realize, you know, who is trustworthy and who isn't. And what are some of the signs of a flatterer or a sycophant or somebody who, you know, and it's, you know, it's the fool loses his naivete, you know, in the Five of Swords. He realizes, oh, my God, there's actually people in this world that are cruel, that want to see my downfall, that aren't happy for me, that don't like me. Oh, my God, you know, what's wrong with them? And it's, you know, it's a glass of cold water in the face. You know, to realize, you know, oh, well, my God, you know, there are nasty people in this world. And so sometimes, you know, moving on to the six is like, you know, screw you, and you realize, wait a minute. You know, there's that cliche that says, fool me once, shame on me, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And I think, you know, the Five of Swords is really seeing things for what they are and seeing people for what they are. And sometimes that's painful. Especially when we believe the best of people, you know, and we believe that people have good intentions and are the type of people that want to see the best for their fellow humans. And then to find out that not only is that not true, but there's cruelty in the heart of man, it's sad. It's sad. It's the worst of humanity a lot of times is embodied in the Five of Swords.
Well, I also wanted to point out that, you know, if it's in a career reading, it could be mean work involving damage control or internal investigations. I always like to think of internal affairs at the police department, you know, but damage control, you know, that sometimes people don't think of that. And that's kind of a little bit of a more positive spin on it, you know, is that you're doing damage control.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, I never thought of that. That's cool. I'm going to write that down. I never heard of that. Very good.
There's always something new, you know. I mean, every time we do
I
learn so many new things. I learned so many new ways to look at things from you, you know, listening to, you know, your take on things. It's great.
Well, thanks. Well, you know, we're always learning, and I think those are the best, tarot students and the best tarot teachers are the ones that aren't know-it-alls, which we're not. The ones that always think, oh, my God, you know, that we're like kids in a way. We're always, you know, in wonderment that, hey, I never thought of that, or, hey, we could look at it this way, and this reminds me of this movie and this fairy tale, and, hey, did you see that headline? Doesn't that remind you of this? And so, you know, there's never an end to tarot. You know, you're always keeping your mind open, staying curious, and it's always so delightful because you always, 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 always learn something new when you keep your mind open.
Mhm. And talking about, you know, a positive spin, I think the biggest positive spin I make is with the Five of Wands. Let's look at the Five of Wands because, you know, traditionally people go, okay, you know, arguments, bickering, being irritated, clashing of personalities, opposition, difficulty moving forward, all those things. But if you look closer, if you sit with the card for a while, other things start to pop in your mind. Like I'm looking at it and I'm going, well, wait a minute, are they playing a sport? Maybe they're just playing a sport. Or
exactly.
I'm looking at it thinking, oh, wait, maybe they're building something. You know, could those mm-hmm. long staves they're using be like, I don't know, the poles to put a tent up. Maybe they're trying to erect a tent or something like that, you know. Out of the fives, I think this is the one where I can put the most positive spin on, you know.
Yes, me too. I call this, it's all fun and games until someone loses an eye card. Including team sports, because, you know, with all that energy and fun aggression and, you know, like being in a crowd at a team sport or what have you, and it's also sometimes I think the practical joke card. In our Snowland deck, it's a snowball fight, but then there's a snowball, you know, coming right at this one kid's head. What's going to happen when that snowball hits? Or in the coffee terror, it's a coffee fight where they're just, like, you know, throwing cold coffee at each other. And, you know, jokes and horseplay, you know, could be fun and hilarious, but all it takes is
snowballs someone... made out of coffee just popped in my head.
Oh, you're crossing your decks. All it takes is just, you know what I mean, one misstep, somebody getting hurt, the wrong word being said during those high-energy times, and it could quickly escalate from having fun and goofing off and horseplay to somebody getting offended and turning into maybe like a big bar fight or, you know, or a brawl. And it's a really interesting card. There's so much energy in it, and... you know, it reminds me of, like, field hockey and those kind of, you know, high-energy games or even basketball, you know. Isn't there five members on a basketball team? I'm not sure. It's been a long time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and there's instability in groups, too. That's another thing I see the five of wands as is instability in groups.
Yeah.
You know, that's really, it's really good for brainstorming sessions, though, because everybody's tossing out their ideas and mixing it up, so to speak, and it's kind of like, you know, finger painting, you know, you're just kind of getting it all out there and looking to see what comes up, but again, you know, there's a fine line, it's not going to take much to perhaps go, you know, cross the line to offend somebody, maybe, so, you know, I see it as a good shaking up, you know, it's like, sprinkling clumps of dirt, you know, as opposed to it being packed in. It's like seeing what's inside. It's sifting through. It's let's take a look at this, you know. And sometimes because the wands I see as identity cards, of all the me and ego cards, I consider the wands to be the suit that addresses that. I see the five of wands sometimes come up with a flux in personality, and that's why I consider this like the puberty card. In some ways, because there's a lot of changes going on. You know, we've got growth spurts in the guys and, you know, pimples and hormones and sex drive and things like that. But also questions of identity a lot of times come up with the five of wands, including gender issues that can arise. You know, there's a flux in personality. And how do you fit in with men or you know, girls or boys? What is your gender? How do you fit in? You know, so sometimes five of wands, when there's like a questioning of an identity, especially when you're in a group and you're comparing yourself, you know, sometimes the five of wands can come up for that, I find.
Oh, yeah, that leads into my one of my concepts with the five of wands in a love reading, because sometimes the client or the seeker could be finding it difficult to stand out from the crowd.
There's you get lost, absolutely.
Competition in the singles market, yeah. You know,
yeah,
and of course with couples,
one-upmanship, right, of jockeying for position in the five of wands, right? And so to jockey for position, you are trying to stand out. Or you feel like you stand out and you feel awkward about it, you know, especially like with puberty, you know, sometimes kids who are experiencing puberty feel like a spotlight's always on them. And they're so self-conscious, and of course, most people aren't even paying attention to them, but they're so hyper-self-aware with all the changes. If they get a pimple, they think it's like, you know, big as a billboard, when it may not be. And so there's a lot of magnification in the fives as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, and if they're already in a relationship, you know, it's very obvious. I mean, you know, bickering and arguments within a couple, you know, that's pretty obvious. I think in a career reading, it could be something like competitive jobs or sporting careers or physical work, things along those lines, you know. But, you know, out of the elements, the swords and the wands that we just did, you know, tend to be the more active, and the cups and the pentacles or coins being the more inactive or passive, you know. And so I think that that's why with both the five of swords and even more so the five of wands, you really see the chaos of the number five and the high energy. Whereas you don't see it as much with the cups and the pentacles. Let's take a look at those.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to look at first, cups or pentacles?
Oh, we could do the cups. You know, this is the five of cups is what I consider, you know, the crying over spilled milk card. You know, meaning being a baby.
I'm saying that all
being
the
a baby
time.
Or a snowflake or somebody who's easily hurt. And a lot of times, people who are five of cups, you know, they're crying about their first world problems. You know, like, oh, my smartphone's battery's dead, or Netflix is, you know, well, not working tonight. Or,
oh, my
you know
God,
what I'm saying?
No.
Crazy first world problems, as opposed to the three of swords, which is actually actual grief and loss. Five of cups is kind of like the dramatic, you know, clutching of the pearls, putting the hand on the forehead. Oh, you know, isn't life rough? You know, they're the people on Facebook that are constantly, you know, talking about their aches and pains, or, you know, oh, I'm having another fibro day, and they do it every week to let people know when they're in pain and when they're suffering. And I understand that sometimes, you know, you let your friends know, but these are the people I think that a lot of times they get some kind of payoff, and they get some energy, or like Carolyn Mace calls it, woundology, where people make emotional transactions off their wounds or off of victimhood. And, you know, not, you know, making a victim, you know, someone to blame or to doubly, you know, add insult to injury. But there comes a time, you know, when you have to heal from being a victim and become strong, and you don't use that wound as a transaction, emotional transaction, energetic transaction, to try to get pity, attention, power, or, you know, get away with things as an excuse because of your injury of what you suffered with, you know. Sometimes people use that as energetic currency, their victimhood or their pain or what they've been through, and they use that as a way to deflect responsibility. So instead of taking responsibility for the behavior or their word choices or their actions, you know, they will default. You know, well, I was abused as a kid. Or, you know, I'm having a bad fibromyalgia day. And I understand that. I mean, you know, starting to go through menopause. It sucks, you know. I'm having hot flashes, and I'm getting pimples on my chin. What the hell? You know, and it's just crazy stuff. And sometimes, you know, you just feel stressed. And, you know, that's when, you know, I just give the guys a head up, and they kind of know it anyway. I'm like, you know, hormone time, just, you know, sorry if I'm short, you know. And I try to ameliorate that and, you know, be careful that I'm not being short-tempered, or I'm, you know, at least I'm letting them know, you know, hey, if I'm moody, it's not you, you know, please try to be patient. But some people, you know, will suck that dry. You know, they will use that, and they will use it for all it's worth to try to control people, manipulate people, excuse their behavior and what have you. So in addition to just being the crying over spilled milk, which is, you know, making big deals, you know, mountains out of molehills and, you know, crying about first world problems, it can also be, you know, people who are using woundology to try to get pity or some type of power out of their wound or their victimhood instead of standing in their own strength.
Absolutely. I think I actually like when this card comes up. It gives me this opportunity to talk with the client and reframe them. We call it reframing in NLP, because typically, you know, most of the initial questions that you're getting from folks are in this regard. In fact, this card, the Five of Cups, is the most frequent card to come up in readings when I'm doing a radio show on air. I'll pull cards, and there's the Five of Cups again, you know. And I like it, though, because it's an opportunity to refocus them, because typically their question is based on lack, and it's where their focus is. It's an opportunity to talk about the law of attraction and how their focus is on the lack. Whether they're calling in about, you know, I'm trying to find a job, I'm trying to find my soulmate, I'm trying to do buy a house, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. Almost all the time, I mean, 95 to 98% of the time, they are focused on the lack of whatever it is. And I use this as an opportunity to get them to, with the Waite Smith version of the card, you know, literally turn around and see that you still have the two upright cups. Get them to refocus their attention on not what they don't want, but what they want.
And how to empower themselves instead of just keep crying about spilled, you know, because sometimes they can get into this defeatist rut as well. And, you know, neuroscience proves this out. They say if you keep thinking negatively and you keep expecting the worst, you actually create channels in the brain and synapses and neurons, they connect, and they actually will form mental shortcuts to where if you experience something negative, you know, your thought process will immediately go to the negative or worst-case scenario or what have you. So with the fives, you know, you actually have an opportunity to completely retrain your brain. And, you know, that's another reason why it's so challenging, because it's not an easy process. You know, it, we could say, okay, don't look at the, you know, three spilled cups, look at the two. But, you know, when their brain has been trained, you know, either through the family they grew up in, or the ethnic group that they're involved, you know, they're a part of, or their religion, their political, you know, party, or, you know, their spouse, or even messages from the media, you know, it will reinforce that negativity and reinforce that expectation of bad things happening. And so it really takes, you know, it could take some work sometimes for people to retrain. And, you know, there's Dr. Martin Seligman has done tremendous work about learned optimism. And, you know, you can retrain your brain to be optimistic. And there's certain traits of people who are more resilient and more positive and who consider themselves lucky. There are certain traits that they have, and those traits have to do with certain expectations and conclusions they make about the bad things that happen to them. You know, for example, when something bad happens, they don't take it personally. They see it more generally. You know, if you don't win a promotion, instead of saying to yourself, well, I suck, you know, I'll never be any good, or flipping around saying, well, the boss is just an asshole and he can't say how great I am. Instead, you just say, well, you know, for whatever reason, I wasn't the right person for the job. There are other jobs out there for me. And then you kind of pick up and you move on. And so I encourage anybody who gets stuck in those ruts and who the Five of Cups, you know, shows up a lot to get the book Learned Optimism by Martin Seligman, and also even Google, you know, positive psychology, because that and cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, can be very helpful in retraining a person's brain to where their mind doesn't go to those three spilled cups. It instead is more likely to go to the two filled cups, you know.
I think we all need that. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, but we all can. I mean, we all can fall into that trap where, you know, if we have a string of, you know, negative things happen, it can be very tempting, you know, to fall into that where, you know, you blame or you're beating yourself up or what have you. And so, yeah, we all can always use that where we remind ourselves, wait a minute, you know, let's not get carried away here with our emotions.
Yes, and what everything that you just brought up reminded me to mention to folks, you know, I was talking about the law of attraction. A lot of people don't believe in that, or they don't believe even in the spiritual realm or anything along those lines. Well, you don't have to, because there's a purely scientific reason for this that works in exactly the same way, but explains it. And that's the reticular activating system, the RAS. It's a group of structures in the center of the brain that directs, or I should say, when the conscious mind puts in an input, it searches through the trillions of bits of information that's coming in through our five senses. You know, our subconscious mind is recording absolutely everything we see, hear, touch, smell, you know, everything. But we don't have all that in our conscious awareness. Our our consciousness can only process 7 bits of information plus or minus 2 bits at any point in time. And so if our mind filters out all the unnecessary information so we can function, you know. But
right.
when we put in, I call it putting it in order with the universe, you know, if you're talking about the law of attraction. But in this instance, the scientific explanation for it is, you know, our mind thinks in pictures. So if our attention is on the lack and we're making a picture of that, well, the reticular activating system, the RAS, is looking through the trillions of bits of information to then take those that relate and pop it into your conscious awareness, either to reinforce that or to help you achieve that. So whatever you put your attention on, that's where the energy goes, you know. And we, you know, I often talk about it in very woo-woo terms, but there's a scientific neurological explanation for how this actually functions. So if you shift your attention onto what you want, you'll be sending in pictures to the subconscious, because, you know, it doesn't think in words, it thinks in images based on your what you're putting your attention on. And now, instead, if you're putting your attention on what you want to draw into your life, your RAS is going to start sending you information that it's gleaning from the trillions of bits of information coming into your subconscious, things that can help you achieve that and get to that, mm-hmm. you know.
Absolutely,
and so
because there, in psychology, there's that confirmation bias. And confirmation bias can be
absolutely,
looking for patterns
yeah.
and looking for things that support your position. But it also can mm-hmm. be, like you said, you know, how the subconscious is trying to fill in those blanks, because you can only focus on 7 to 9 bits. And so the brain, you know, as a shortcut, is trying to fill in those blanks for you, because we'd be too overwhelmed if we had the whole subconscious at our fingertips, you know. So it's kind of like a card catalog. You know, you go to the card catalog, you look it up, and then you can grab it. It's all there. But it only comes up when you're trying to recall or focus on it. And that's how confirmation bias works as well. And so what you're feeding in that will either feed your bias, positive or negative. You know, and either way, though, it could lead to erroneous thinking. And that's another thing about the fives. I see that as when the subconscious is starting. It's almost like a little earthquake and how the ground starts to crack. Because remember I was talking about how, like, dirt's packed down and stuff. Well, when there's a little bit of shaking and the dirt starts to crack and everything, that's like a five, the fives. And I see that, too, sometimes is the subconscious. There's some flux going on, and it's starting to, you know, come. Some things are coming up to the surface, and then you can choose at that point. It's like, okay, has this input worked for me in the past? You know, and if not, maybe I need to change the kind of information I'm putting in. Because, you know, even Albert Einstein said, you know, if one definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And so you can't keep having the same input and the same negativity and think that your subconscious is going to pull on the good stuff, because it's not.
One of my favorite
pull,
quotes,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, it's going to pull on what you're focusing on and what you're visualizing. And if you visualize mm-hmm. yourself as a loser or, you know, something to be kicked around, like a person has kicked me on the back, their back, or somebody who is always marginalized or hated, or always the victim, or never getting a fair chance. And that you keep putting that in there, and that's exactly it would become a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's largely because
yeah.
of the brain programming. But the good news is, you know, science has been showing us how neuroplasticity the brain is. So you can always you can always relearn and reprogram your brain and redirect those channels in to reach for more positive and empowering thoughts.
Yeah, and sometimes it just takes a reframing, and there's the positive spin for the Five of Cups is when it does come in a reading. You know, there's your opportunity to talk to your client and to get them to reframe. Confirmation bias, oh yeah, my favorite thing to talk about is the whole evolution versus creationism. And, you know, and even if they are coming at it, and that's why scientific endeavor is so difficult sometimes, even when somebody comes up with, oh, you know, here's proof that, you know, what we've been thinking for the last, you know, 50 years is wrong, it takes years and years for people to come around, because when you're focused on – it being a certain way, your RAS is going to give you only the information that supports that. You're going to get evidence that supports creationism if you're coming from that point of view. If you're coming from the evolution side, you're only going to see evidence that supports evolution, you know, and they're both wrong. It's actually in the middle.
Exactly. Whatever you look for, you're going to find. So if you look on trying to get dirt on people, you will find it somehow. Even if it's just the most minuscule, well, they said this word, or they looked this way at me, or they did this, this must prove. You know, whatever you're looking for, you're going to find.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what?
So then it,
whatever
so
it is
it, so,
that you – I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, no. So I was just going to say, so, you know, the problem is with a person's expectation and what they're looking for. It's not with the object. You know what I'm saying? Because that's why, you know, five people can see a situation five different ways. And even law enforcement will tell you that eyewitnesses are actually the most unreliable aspect in an investigation. It used to be that, oh, well, an eyewitness was there. But now, you know, it... eyewitnesses are seen with, they're taken with a huge grain of salt, and they're not given the weight in an investigation that they used to be, because five people can see the same accident, the same altercation, the same conversation, and interpret it different ways depending on what they're bringing to the thing, you know, to the viewing and also their confirmation bias, what they want to see.
Absolutely. So that's the lesson of the Five of Cups, you know, shift your focus. Focus on what you want to attract in, not on, you know, what you do. And my God, you're going to get that a lot. I mean, that's what most people do.
Yeah, it's so
they focus on what they focus on what they don't have, and so they keep getting more of that, you know. So the last one, we're down.
Well, I wanted to mention, too, and that's why I think gratitude is a good remedy for the Five of Cups. Because a lot of times the Five of Cups has a sense of entitlement and ingratitude. So I think when you cultivate, encourage people with Five of Cups personalities or issues to cultivate gratitude, a gratitude practice, being thankful for things, that will help train their mind to look for those upright cups that are full, what's going right in their life. So gratitude practice could be very powerful in help turning a person's mind around, because gratitude practice and thankfulness requires a person to see what's going right with their life.
Yes. Yes, I mean, just a few weeks ago, I had up as the cover art on my Facebook, you know, the secret to manifestation, gratitude, and the quote, you can have anything you want, but you have to first want what you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, do you want what you already have? You know, exactly.
Which is the essence
of gratitude.
Some people
don't even want that. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us to the Five of Coins, which is a very challenging.
I can't believe we're already at the at the fourth card already.
Yeah, and this is a challenging card too. This is the Five of Coins, or Five of Pentacles, Five of Earth. This is, you know, when you're physically down and out. I mean, this is material challenges. This is job loss, a leaky roof, homelessness, hunger, poverty, destitution, losing your health insurance and not having health insurance. You know, it's a difficult card. You know, and it's a card we all pass through at some point in our life to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All kinds of suffering in this card from any different angle, you know. Lack of confidence.
Mostly material.
Low self-esteem.
Yeah.
I call it the being out in the cold card, you know, feeling unloved.
Absolutely.
You could be suffering from low energy, you know, lacking support.
Yeah.
Lethargy. And of course, because it's Earth, it's because it's the Pentacles, the coins, you know, difficulty paying your bills, spending more than
absolutely.
You earn.
Yeah.
Experiencing hard times, obviously. Yeah. And this is another card like the Five of Cups, where, you know, right behind them, they don't see opportunities that exist, that there's help right there. There's a church right behind them that, and maybe they could help. You know, and their backs are more or less to the window. You have the glass stained window with the five pentacles in it, in the Waite Smith version of the card. And, you know, there they are out in the cold. I love how the one person's on crutches, you know, in the snow. You know, I mean, can it get worse?
Well, actually, yeah, probably can. in the Rider-Waite, that's actually portraying leprosy, because if you look at the other one, he has a little bell on his neck. And back in the old days, you know, when a leper came around, they would ring the bell to let people know leper's coming, you know. And it's a sad card because it's marginalization and, you know, being on the outskirts and, you know, not being a part of the crowd, not being included, you know, because, you know, the word leper actually, you know, evolved to a point where someone who was untouchable or someone who you stay away from or someone you feel that, you know, you're going to get diseased or dirtied by associating with, you know, like, oh, he's a leper, you know. And so, you know, it's a sad card. And because churches, which are often depicted in the Five of Coins, if they'd be doing their job, there'd probably be a lot less of all these social issues that are embodied in the card, because the church's job, you know, what Jesus gave a mandate to his disciples and followers in the Christian tradition, is to take care of the elderly, the weak among us, you know, the diseased, the children, people who needed protected and provided for, you know, people who were down and out. And, you know, if churches would be doing what they're supposed to be doing, I don't think we'd have homelessness. I don't think we'd have anybody without health insurance or, you know, access to doctors. We wouldn't have anybody who's hungry, you know, and it's too many churches are out there making more money, you know, so their pastors can have yet another jet or yet another mansion.
The mega churches. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Don't get me started.
Instead of taking the funds and doing, you know, churches are supposed to be the charity and the social services. You know, we shouldn't even have government social services. The churches, that's what they're there for. That's why they get tax-exempt status, so they can get off their asses and actually help people, you know. And that's why they were granted tax, you know, tax exemption, because, hey, you're there helping the community. And you're not helping the community if all you're doing is sitting there and, oh, praise the Lord on Sundays, and then you ignore, you know, your brothers and sisters who, you know, among you who, you know, are shut-ins or who can't cut their grass or who disabled or maybe, you know, they're hungry or they lack transportation or what have you. You know what I'm saying? So if the churches were doing their job, I kind of see that as, when I see that church there, I start getting riled up. I think about how, you know, Jesus was with the Pharisees, you know, and he goes in the temple and he's upending the money changers and he goes, you brood of vipers, you know, and, you know, say.
He wouldn't
set
foot in most churches. Or if he did, he'd be yelling at
him. I'm sure he's not
pastor,
happy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know, he even said to him, you go to land and sea to win a convert, and then when you do, you make him twice the son of hell as you. And it's all about rules and regulations and this crazy shit that doesn't matter instead of actually meeting physical material needs, which was Jesus was all about, you know, when the people were listening to him, you know, the loaves and fishes. And, you know, disciples are like, you know, Master, they're hungry. And so he starts multiplying loaves and fishes. It's like you can't expect people to receive spiritual teaching and spiritual wisdom if they're hungry. You know what I'm saying? Or if they're in pain. You know, it's like if you can't, the church's first mandate is to take care of the physical body, you know, which is the pentacles, the earth suit, you know, the earth suit. That's the mandate. Take care of the physical needs first. And just by doing that, you are being spiritual. But a person couldn't even, you know, you can't, just like a kid can't focus in school if he has no breakfast and no food. You know, how are you going to get, you know, unless, of course, you're intentionally fasting and stuff, but that's something different. But I'm talking in general, you know. The church's job, religious and spiritual institutions' jobs, are to take care, I feel, of the material needs of people, you know, and then the spiritual comes after that.
Religion, you know, religious organizations, especially Christian ones, are always talking about, you know, the tithing 10%. And it just popped in my head, what about if, you know, they took, you know, 10% of the donations they receive in a year, every single religious organization, church, everything there is out there, and put that towards the social issues, you would eliminate hunger, homelessness, and everything in, you know, less than a generation.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Yep.
And I'm speaking as a person, in case people don't know my background. I'm actually trained as a theologian. I went to an Assemblies of God Bible College for 4 years, majored in pastoral ministry. I used to be a Christian pastor, ordained, legitimate, not through the mail. I was actually ordained through two different organizations, you know, where they have the ceremony and they actually give you the certificate and they acknowledge that, you know, you have shown, you know, that you are minister material, and of course I have the theological background. And so, you know, when I'm speaking about this, I'm not like speaking as some pagan who hates Christians. I'm a person who's still very good friends with Jesus, but is pissed off on his behalf, just like he was when he was on earth, saying, you know, what have you done, you know, in my name? You know, what have you, what kind of monster have you become, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What a way to end the show, Dax. What a way to end the show.
There you go, you know.
And there you go.
Yeah. Well, let me throw out a couple examples for people. So maybe we can end up on a better note here. So in a love reading, things like maybe the seeker feels unloved, unappreciated by their partner, or if they're single, maybe they feel unlovable or worthless, you know,
right.
A belief that nobody wants them. In a career reading, maybe they're relying on welfare. In a work situation, maybe they're unsupported in their role. But sometimes Five Pentacles denotes working for charities or social work, like we were just talking about. You know, I think that's the.
Now, see, I see that with the six.
That's the only.
Where the guy is showing.
That's the only positive spin
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, see, I see this. Yeah. Well, another thing about the Five of Earth too is like the rest of the fives, you kind of know who your real friends are. When the five show
mm-hmm.
up, you know who your friends are, and the five of Earth,
yeah.
you know, you will be shown, you know, because nothing will scatter your friends faster than being a symbolic leper in some way, or to be down and out, or to be diagnosed with a
mm-hmm.
disease that they, you know, they don't know how to handle it, they don't know what to say, losing your job, or, you know, have some kind of fall from grace or what have you. You'll know your friends when the fives hit. So that is a benefit, you know. Too, and of course, too,
yep.
the fives can also cause us to dig deep and to realize we're stronger than we realize and become more resourceful, you know, and to start getting creative in, you know, how we empower ourselves. You know, it's an opportunity to get creative, you know. But that's the hard thing, though, is because
mm-hmm.
when you're experiencing those kind of challenges, especially the Five of Earth or Five of Coins or Pentacles, again, when you're hungry or homeless or what have you, it's kind of hard to be a good brainstormer, you know. It's because you're basically scrambling to get your material needs met, survival, you know, survival needs. And so, you know, it also can mean, too, people who, you know, rally around one another and help each other during the rough times. You know, like I was saying, you know, you find out who your friends are. Sometimes Five of Earth can, you know, just like Five of Wands is, you know, kind of team sports and horseplay, Five of Earth is like, hey, let's rally around our friend here, and what can we do to support them? You know, a single mother just has a baby. Maybe, you know, girlfriends can arrange bringing meals or, you know, babysitting or different things. I mean, there tends to be a group or community element to some of the fives as well, you know, like drawing on the resources surrounding.
Absolutely. And you got a little taste of the sixes there because we mentioned it previously, and then you just mentioned the six of coins, and it, you know, definitely true. The charity there, I can see that as a good fit for, you know, working
mm-hmm.
for charities and so forth. So there you go, folks. You got a little hint of what's coming
got
up.
A teaser.
little teaser, yeah. So just real quickly. Make sure you stop by, of course, JanetBoyer.com as well. You know, go check everything out there. You had a URL for the coffee.
Everything can
companion?
Be found at JanetBoyer.com. But, I mean, CoffeeTarotDeck.com will take you right to there, and then NakedTarot.com.
Oh, cool.
But really, if you go to JanetBoyer.com, you'll see a navigation menu to the left that will take you to everything.
Awesome. And if you're into tarot
Yay.
And numerology, you're going to love the guild, tarotguild.org. But remember, we have that special going, the package deal that's on sale. It's only available through the radio network. This is only for our listeners, the people paying attention. You won't find it on tarotguild.org. you have to first go to psychictalk.net/tarot summer to get in on that deal. 8 more days left. The end of summer, the sale ends. That's right. Remember, you can tune in tomorrow, and you can call in for a mini reading on the Soul Sisters show. Goddess Guidance is on Friday. On Sunday, Natalie Anderson returns, the pet psychic. And then, of course, we're taking the 29th off, but we'll have another Soul Sisters on Thursday the 30th, and then rounding out the month, Goddess Guidance on the 31st. Then all of our shows are coming back starting in September. So the Tuesday show will be back. We'll be back on the 5th with the Naked Tarot book launch party.
Woo-hoo!
And then the following
and
Wednesday,
everybody
the 12th,
has to listen naked. Everybody has to have their clothes
yes.
off when they listen.
And a martini or a wine. And the following Wednesday, unless something drastic happens, the 12th is when we'll get back to this journey through the minor arcana, be the sixes. We also have some other shows debuting. We've got on the 9th, the second Sunday, will always be now Lottie and Frank's new show. The 10th, Monday the 10th, is when Catherine Hahn's show premieres. Catherine is going to be guest co-hosting on tomorrow's show, so you'll be able to get a little flavor there. And so we have all these new shows and new hosts coming in September, including Sharona as well, Sharona Rapsik. And we're going to have a full schedule. The Tuesday show will be back starting on the 4th. Our mediumship ladies, Rose and Fiona and Vivian. So lots of fantastic things coming up, Janet. Well, this was a lot of fun. Great chatting with you as always.
And speaking of Rose and Vivian, their birthdays were yesterday. So happy birthday, Rose and Vivian.
Yes. Happy birthday.
Yes.
They're both on the same day, you know. And actually, I think Fiona is a different month, but the same day. And they're all the 21st.
Oh, my gosh,
21st. What are the chances? Yes. And then 21, 2 plus 1 is 3, and that's why their show is called The Power of 3, and there's 3 of them.
Oh, my God. That is powerful numerology there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, bye, everybody.
It was great.
Thanks for all the listeners.
Spend time with you all.
Bye, Janet. Bye. Have a great week and a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.